In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When I was privileged to preach here last, it was at the commemoration of St. Matthias. For those of you who were here, I reminded you, brothers and sisters, that even as Matthias did, you will likely labor in relative obscurity in the kingdom. But that's okay. Ministry is not about your glory. Ministry is diakonia, service. He who is greatest in the kingdom must become a servant of all. And yet there are some who become pillars in the church. Although the Holy Spirit sets up pastors as overseers of their flock, some become bishops in the church. Indiana District President Dan May doesn't particularly like it when I call him bishop, but that's what he is. He's an overseer of the ministerium of the Indiana District. Brother Harrison doesn't mind it so much. James, the brother of our Lord, became one of those pillars of the church in Jerusalem and bishop. He presided over that first council of the church held in Jerusalem that we heard. But one must ask, what makes one worthy to be made a bishop? Now, I know St. Paul has a lot to say about this, but today we want to consider especially Bishop James. And, well, James was the brother of our Lord. On the other hand, although we know that family is important, the status of family offered him no benefit before the Lord. He was Jesus' brother, and yet no special place with Jesus. For at another time, stretching out his hand toward his disciples, Jesus said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And this is the will of the Father, Jesus says elsewhere, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Being Jesus' brother did not help James to look onto the Son and believe in him. The evangelist John reminds us, not even his brothers believed in him. Of course, today we remember James and call him saint, not because he was Jesus' brother, but because though at one time he was unbelieving, he did come to believe in his brother as the Son of God and as Lord. When exactly, we don't know, but surely seeing his once dead brother alive again had something to do with it. And we know James then became quickly prominent in the church and a bishop. Still, what makes one worthy to be a bishop? Perhaps it's being right always in one's theology, being the best theologian. Surely we want good theologians as bishop. But James made plenty of mistakes. St. Paul tells us all about those sent from James to the churches in Galatia, those scattering and devouring the sheep of the Good Shepherd, requiring them to keep the law that not even their fathers nor they could keep. Neither Peter nor James got that one right, though Peter knew better. And, well, let's admit it, as we go out in our own service, we'll also make plenty of mistakes, Lord, have mercy upon us. But James shows himself to be a bishop by listening to the reports of Paul and Barnabas, by listening to Peter's testimony, by crafting an evangelical response to the Gentile churches. That's what makes a good bishop, whether of the whole church or of a particular flock. Hearing Jesus' word, understanding Jesus' purpose for coming down from heaven and becoming one with us in the flesh. Listening to Jesus' word and understanding Jesus' purpose in suffering and dying and rising to life again. That it was not just for the Jews, but for the world, which means it was also for the Gentiles, for their forgiveness and life, and for their freedom. That means for you also. And understanding this, James led the whole church according to the gospel. He proclaimed what Peter and Paul did, that whether Jew or Gentile, you will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. James served the church as bishop then by sending out more men to attest to Christ to these churches. He encouraged the churches with the gospel as he told them of the decision of the council. He encouraged these Gentiles who had believed in Jesus, even though they had never seen Jesus nor walked with him. He encouraged them, even in the midst of persecution in the diaspora. Friends, we have never seen Jesus either, nor walked with him. And even if we had, would we do any better than Jesus' own brothers in believing him? Probably not. But the Holy Spirit has also called us Gentiles to faith in Jesus. In Jesus, who has freed us from the burden of the law, and who asks only that we love him and our neighbors in response. And dear brothers and sisters, he's calling you. That's why you are here, calling you to diaconia. Though you may never become bishop, he's calling you. Soon we'll call you by the pillars and bishops of our church. You will be sent out as pastors and deaconesses to listen to the scriptures as they bear witness to Jesus. You'll be called to believe in them, to testify to Jesus' death and resurrection for the life of the world, to bear witness to the forgiveness of sins. Pastors are still sent out, as James did, sent out to baptize, to make disciples, to call into God's family. Pastors are still being sent out to serve the Lord's Supper, that you who have never walked with Jesus nor seen him do a miracle, that you might taste his body and blood and believe the miracle that happens every Sunday and here today at this altar, that you may be strengthened in this faith, made perfect and complete. Oh, you may never become a bishop, but you lack nothing. You have Jesus, and Jesus is everything. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.